I'm Brandon Tabor for KASU News. The 2018 fiscal session of the Arkansas Legislature is underway. And on the first day of the session, Governor Asa Hutchinson delivered his State of the State address. Hutchinson discussed the economic conditions of the state and the progress of some legislation that was passed last year. He also addressed funding for the state's hybrid Medicaid expansion program, known as Arkansas Works, progress on the statewide crisis stabilization units, and a new tax cut proposal. Here is Governor Asa Hutchinson delivering the State of the State address. Following audio is from ArkansasHouse.org.
Governor Hutchinson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Ms. Lieutenant Governor, President Dismang, Chief Justice Kemp, Associate Justices of the Arkansas Supreme Court, our constitutional officers that are here, distinguished members of the Arkansas General Assembly. This is an occasion in which we can gather together as a state family of elected officials and reflect on where we are in Arkansas. We can talk about our successes, our challenges, what we need to do, and where we've been. First, let me express to Speaker Gillum my condolences for the loss of his father, Dennis, this last week. Mr. Speaker, our prayers are with you and your family. I also want to recognize, as I look out in this audience, the loss of Senator Greg Standridge. Just being here makes me miss his smile, his calm demeanor, and his words of encouragement. And then today, the General Assembly lost another longtime stalwart in Tim Massanelli, our longtime parliamentarian. And for all of this loss, we grieve as a state and express our appreciation for their service. But today, as we begin this session, this fiscal session, I'm reminded of a longtime history teacher that I had in college that began every class by saying, "A moment of review, and on we go." And that's not a bad framework for the State of the State address today. 3 years ago, I spoke in this chamber, and I spoke about a new day in Arkansas. I envisioned a time of sustained economic growth that benefited not a few, but everyone, that everyone shared in. And guess what? Arkansas is growing, and we are competing in the national and global stage. And we can compete because we lowered taxes, we made government more efficient, we have reduced regulations, and we're leading the nation in computer science education. And so while we have much more to do, I stand before you today, grateful for the partnership that has been demonstrated in this room with all of those that love Arkansas. And I'm pleased to advise the General Assembly today that the state of our state is stronger than ever before. Not only are we stronger now than ever before, but our future has never been brighter. Let's consider for a moment. In 2017, last year, we topped 3 million residents for the first time. Our economy is booming. When I took office, the unemployment rate was 5.6%. Now, it is at 3.7%. And last year, Arkansas was one of only three states to achieve both record low unemployment while also improving wages by a growth rate of more than 3%. Not only did our economy grow faster than three-fourths of the states, but today more people are working now than ever before. Part of the reason for this growth is that we signed more than 300 agreements with Arkansas companies to expand or new industry to locate in this state. From Sig Sauer in Jacksonville to Rui in Forest City, to Matova in Conway and Fayetteville, from Simmons Foods, an existing Arkansas company, to FMH Conveyor in Jonesboro. All of those Arkansas companies, out-of-state companies, benefited from the competition that we offered and said, we don't want to lose you to another state. We want to keep you here in Arkansas, and we want you to expand. Our recruiting efforts have brought in $7 billion in investments and created more than 11,000 jobs in Arkansas. Overall, we've created 60,000 jobs in the last 3 years, and yes, you're right. The credit goes not just to the agreements that we've signed, but the incredible entrepreneurs in our state that take risk, invest capital, and create jobs and grow. In Arkansas, agriculture continues to be the leader. From Cuba to China to the White House, I have continued to push for open global markets and to be an advocate for Arkansas agriculture. Why? Because we are great producers, and we produce more than we consume, and we need to have a larger universe of consumers for our commodities and our livestock. We in Arkansas produce for the world, and the world needs to understand those markets need to be open for us. And yes, tax cuts have been important also as part of our success. We changed the course of history by reducing our income tax burden by more than $150 million each year. We also signed into law the exemption for veterans' retirement pay, and we are seeing the results. Colonel Mike Kirby, a native of Iowa, retired after 26 years in the Air Force and moved to Arkansas to start a business because of our commitment to the military and this law. And Adam and Brittany Bacher, originally from Texas, decided to remain in Arkansas after Adam retires from the Air Force because we passed Act 41, giving that income tax exemption for military retirees. And I want to thank the bill's sponsors, representing Charlene Fide and Senator Jane English, for their leadership on this important legislation and all of your support to make that happen. Not only is it agriculture, but with tourism attracting people to our state like never before, when people see Arkansas, they want to stay in Arkansas and invest here. That is an attraction for us that we need to build upon. Now, let me pause for a moment to thank those who are serving in the Arkansas National Guard. This last year, we've seen deployments overseas and disasters at home. The Arkansas National Guard is ready to serve. In 2017, we had nearly 2,000 soldiers and airmen in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Djibouti, Kosovo, and Central America. That is service. In addition, we had more than 1,100 Guard members deployed to Houston, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico in the aftermath of the devastating hurricanes that hit the United States. General Mark Berry, I've asked him to be here. General Berry, would you stand representing the Arkansas National Guard and be recognized? Let's give... And so many of these veterans that stay in Arkansas, some of them want to start a business. And whether it's a veteran or anyone who wants to go into business in Arkansas or enter a trade or profession, our state should be helpful and not a hindrance. That is why we have formed a working group to focus on reducing regulatory hurdles that prevent people from pursuing their dreams. Later this week, I expect to join with the legislature in announcing the names for this working group that will present legislation for the 92nd General Assembly for your consideration. Of course, when you talk about prosperity, foundational to more prosperity is education. Today, we have more than 6,000 students taking computer science in our high schools, a 400% increase since we started this initiative 3 years ago. We need to stay the course for computer science education in Arkansas. We need to stay on the forefront. It is paying dividends for our state. When it comes to education, nothing is more important than reading. Our Reading Initiative for Student Excellence, or called RISE, focuses on phonics, creating a culture of reading in our community and our schools, an individualized plan for success when a student falls behind. We want our students reading at grade level because that is the foundation for everything that is learned. I'm delighted to announce that more than 350 schools are participating in the RISE initiative. In terms of higher education, we have the No Limits campaign, in which we encourage our students to take the ACT as many times as they can, with the first test free of charge, because better scores will increase opportunities for scholarship and financial aid. And I hope that our communities will help foot the bill for additional tests. When the state pays for the first one, they might need help taking additional ones. When it comes to higher education, we also have to mention the productivity funding formula, in which we will fund our 10 public universities and 22 community colleges based upon student progression and not just student enrollment. It's about our Arkansas Futures grants that assures a student that if you go into a high-need field of study, then 2 years of college or training will be covered and paid for by the state. We want to make sure they're comfortable in securing at least 2 years of paid-for education in terms of tuition and cost. And yes, it is important that we apply this to non-traditional students as well, so that everybody can benefit from that opportunity. It provides a mentor and 2 years that they will be staying in Arkansas to work after they finish. Many of you have advocated for funding for pre-K. Well, it has been increased in the last few years thanks to your leadership and advocacy, and that is an important part of improving education in Arkansas. There's an important principle to follow, and that is a growing economy and improved job skill training should benefit everyone, even those who have fallen on challenging times and need assistance. We have witnessed that in Arkansas. Now there are fewer Arkansans on Medicaid than 3 years ago. SNAP recipients are the lowest in 9 years. Last year alone, we reduced Medicaid rolls by 117,000, and it actually broke down along fairly even lines that 58,000 were reduced from the traditional Medicaid rolls and 58,000 approximately were reduced from Arkansas Works. That is because we've improved our systems and our efficiencies, and they have moved on to work or higher income. This is a good thing for the state of Arkansas. I recently learned of a 28-year-old expecting mother from Independence County who developed a number of health issues during her pregnancy that prevented her from working. As a result, she relied upon traditional Medicaid to pay for her treatments. After the birth of her child, she transitioned to Arkansas Works program in August of last year. But complications from her pregnancy left her still unable to work and in need of multiple surgeries. Today, I'm happy to report that she is healthy, she has a full-time job, and she's moved off of Medicaid and assistance altogether. As for the future of Medicaid, we are asking Washington for more flexibility. I am hopeful that before this session is concluded, we will have a waiver in hand that gives us a work requirement for Arkansas Works. We are all watching the cost, I know. And the most effective cost control is helping people be trained and to earn their way off. And while our work requirement will be one of the most stringent in the country, it is not designed to be punitive, but to increase training and opportunities for employment. That is the design, and that is what we believe can happen. Arkansans want to work. They know there is dignity and reward that comes with working and the privilege of providing for your family. A good example of our commitment to help those in need is the progress that we have made on the developmentally disabled waiting list. Last year, we applied $8 million to move 500 deserving people off the wait list. It had been nearly a decade since we had last made progress. I met last year 19-year-old Reagan Reeves, who is one of those receiving help for the first time. She was on the list for 8 years. With in-home assistance, Reagan is achieving a measure of an independence her parents weren't equipped to teach. And I appreciate the partnership of those in the General Assembly as we continue to look for ways to reduce that wait list even more. So from addressing the developmentally disabled list to addressing the foster care crisis, in which you devoted $24 million to increase the number of caseworkers and to provide the proper care for our foster children in this state, we have been engaged in solving challenges and problems. And yes, we worked together even to give Dr. King his own special day in history to remember. Your work matters. It makes a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of Arkansans. And we are working on addressing challenges even outside of this fiscal session. And yes, we need to have a fair reimbursement rate for our pharmacists. We need to have... We need to have rural broadband access in our rural areas of this state. We need to... And we need to continue to address the challenge of opioid abuse that is killing our young people in this state. We have lost 60,000 American lives annually because of opioid abuse. And the fact that we are making in Arkansas Narcan available, that we're making the prescription drug monitoring program mandatory, we're increasing awareness. This makes a difference, and we need to continue to make that progress in fighting that challenge. And so now let's move to work in the fiscal session. And while the session is straightforward, that is before you, the opportunities are significant. I have presented a balanced budget to you in which I wanted to highlight a few parts. First of all, the budget that I have presented fully funds education. It reduces the growth of Medicaid spending. It has real spending cuts in a number of agencies through efficiencies. It increases funding for public safety, and it reduces our historic habit of using one-time funds for ongoing needs. Not perfect, but we are making progress. The result is a net reduction in overall spending in FY19 as compared to the budget that was presented last year. Most importantly, the reduction in spending gives us a projected surplus of $64 million. And if you look at Medicaid specifically, I want to compliment the Health Care Task Force for the work that your body did in looking at ways to transform Medicaid to achieve savings. And we set a goal of $835 million over 5 years as a reduction in overall Medicaid spending. And ladies and gentlemen, we are now on target to meet those goals. So thank you for your work and your leadership. In the budget, the remaining growth in Medicaid spending is the result of, first of all, a change in the federal match. There are consequences to an improving economy, and we have to pick up a little bit more percentage of the cost. There is an elimination of $50 million in one-time funding that has been rolled into the budget. And then we have medical inflation, which nationally runs at about 5%, but we have reduced that growth rate in Arkansas to 3.2%. That is transformation. That is progress. It is important to remember that our transformation efforts are not just necessary for the budget of Arkansas, but whenever we save and reduce the growth of Medicaid spending, then we save federal dollars, and in this budget year, because of the savings, we're reducing federal spending by nearly $500 million. And so this is a strong budget, a good budget. In terms of public safety, we have funded community corrections that will increase by $1.4 million to assure continued progress with our reentry program and parole supervision. Currently, the community corrections has 1,332 employees. The budget provides for 1,455. That is room to increase the personnel by more than 120 positions. And yes, there is always more to do. There is always challenges there that we'll continue to monitor. But we have increased that funding. We've put funding in the budget for 4 crisis stabilization units that will help us to address the mental health challenges that so many face. And whenever they run into law enforcement, and law enforcement has been trained to identify a mental health issue, then they can be diverted from the county jails and put into a crisis stabilization center that we have 4 pilots that are being funded so that they can get temporary stabilization assistance and referral to more long-term care. And so it's important that we fund that crisis intervention training and the crisis stabilization units. This will benefit those with mental health problems and will alleviate the burden on our county jails and prisons. The first one is scheduled to open at the end of this month, and they will continue to roll out after that. Other highlights in the budget include $3 million as a line item for Arkansas State Police vehicles. Traditionally, we have been taking one-time funding. We put it in as a line item. It provides for continued support for our child welfare caseworkers. This is the right budget for Arkansas because it is conservative in spending, it increases our savings, and it invests in the future of our state. The savings of over $64 million are split. $16 million under the budget is set aside for highways, which is the 25% of the surplus. That is much needed and important. $48 million I've asked you to put into a restricted reserve fund that cannot be touched without the concurrence of the legislature. That is set aside for the future. Now let me talk about the future. This year, we will receive a report from the Legislative Task Force on Tax Reform and Relief. I want to applaud its work and taking on this enormous challenge. The work that you have done has already served to educate the legislators and the general public as to how we need to have a more competitive tax structure in Arkansas that's more fair, that's more simple, and the reform is necessary. So I applaud your work. I've been asked, well, what are your priorities? I want the task force to do its work. But I want to tell you today my priorities, and my priorities have been consistent. And that is that we need to reduce the individual income tax rate in Arkansas. This last week, I was in New York. I went there, as I like to do, to sell Arkansas. I met with business leaders. I met with industry, saying Arkansas is a good place to do business. Expand here. Put your business here. I also took advantage of the opportunity to go to media outlets and to talk about Arkansas. One of those was the Wall Street Journal editorial board. And as I was visiting with the Wall Street Journal editorial board, I was asked a question, and that is, what is the top marginal tax rate in Arkansas? And I said, well, it's 6.9%. And they looked at me and responded, that is worse than Connecticut. That story illustrates the competitive nature of taxes in a mobile society. Businesses can relocate, individuals can relocate. But the true motivation for tax reform is to do the best for the people of Arkansas. And today, I'm announcing my specific plan for future tax cuts. I am proposing that we cut the marginal individual tax rate in Arkansas from 6.9% to 6%. This needs to be done in the 2019 session, but we'll be working on it this year to set the stage for that. How do we do this? Well, we do it by, first of all, a commitment to the essential services of our state. And I remind you that whenever we had $150 million in tax cuts, we approached it in a way that did not jeopardize the essential services of our state. They said it couldn't be done. We did it. But we also have an additional advantage now, and that is that our transformation efforts to reduce unnecessary spending is in full gear. We have our transformation office. We have our teams on transformation. They will continue to work to look at savings that we can create within state government without diminishing services. And then, most importantly, will be the recommendations of the task force that is representing this body. And I want to support you. I want to build that partnership. I want you to do your work, and I look forward to your recommendations as to what you want to achieve, how you want to achieve it, and what can be done to achieve those goals. Finally, it is important to achieve this in order that we have continued success in job creation and economic growth. That has to be a part of it. Let me close by saying, the challenge is before us. Over the past 3 years, we have honored the trust of the people of Arkansas that they have placed in us. But we cannot rest until there is equal opportunity for success, whether you live in Gurdon or whether you live in Gravette. Whether you're born in Tyronza or whether you're born in Texarkana. Yes, there is much in Arkansas to celebrate, but we are not yet finished. I grew up loving the Spavinaw Creek that flowed through our farm and the hills that surrounded us. To me, that was Arkansas, and I loved it. But as life moved on, I fell in love with the rich delta, the timberland in the south, the duck hunting in the parts of the state, and I discovered more of our broad history and the diversity of culture that we have and the breadth of our economy that keeps us strong. Yes, today we have much to be thankful for. Today I recognize the amazing opportunity that is before us. That opportunity is Arkansas. Let's not let her down. Thank you. God bless your efforts. God bless Arkansas.